Tomorrow marks Daffodil Day, which is a hugely important moment in our Irish calendar when people across the country come together to support those affected by cancer. Every donation helps fund expert cancer nurses, groundbreaking research and vital services that guide patients and families through incredibly difficult journeys. Today, I am joined by Alana Kells, who at just 27 years old is living with stage 3 breast cancer. She's here to share her story from diagnosis to how it's changed her life and to help shine a light on why support for Daffodil Day matters more than ever. Alana, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you so much for talking to me this evening. For people who are meeting you for the first time this evening, can you take us back to when you first realised something might be off or wrong? What were those early signs or moments like for you?
Yeah, so I'd been really tired for like over a year. I'd gone to a doctor, gotten like blood tests done, everything was normal, like my iron was slightly low, that resolved, but I was still exhausted. Got tested for like everything, my thyroid was checked for celiac disease, like anything that could be causing this tiredness. And then I started getting night sweats as well, but then I was in final year of my PhD, I was planning my wedding, I was just absolutely up the walls, stressing about everything. So the doctors did say, you know, at this stage, like, you're probably just burnt out, you're probably just exhausted. But it got to the point where I was like needing to lie down in the middle of the day, take a nap and stuff like that I'd never had to do before. But yeah, I couldn't figure out what was going on, and I'd kind of just accepted that this was like my new normal. I was just going to be tired all the time. And then I was doing breast checks just regularly anyway, but couldn't find that. And then one night I was lying in bed and kind of reached over and felt like a slight, nearly like muscle, just like a rollable hard area, not like a standard like picture perfect lump like you'd imagine. Like it was rollable, it was kind of soft, and just thought I was a bit strange. And I booked an appointment with my GP just to kind of, you know, take a box exercise. Like, I'll go, I'll get it checked, I'll be told everything's fine and, you know, move on. But I went to GP and she was like, it's probably a cyst, but we'll refer you on urgently just because of your age, just because of its size. Like, it was like a centimeter across or something like that. So yeah, she referred me on, and that was kind of the start of the diagnosis then.
What was going through your mind when you then eventually got faced with the news that it was stage 3 breast cancer? How do you even go about forming thoughts when you're greeted with that type of news, especially when, I know at any age cancer is absolutely dreadful, but at the age of 27 you wouldn't hear it as often?
Yeah, like up to the point of getting the ultrasound scan, I kind of thought this is just going to be something benign. And then when I got the ultrasound, obviously things shifted quite dramatically. Things got very serious, that they could clearly see that lymph nodes were involved. And yeah, that would make it stage 3 then, when there's lymph nodes involved. And I was kind of told at that stage, you know, things don't look right. And I was referred on for a lot more scans, and I kind of realised at that point things were not looking good. And then I met my consultant and they said, yes, you know, it's stage 3 breast cancer, which was weird. Like, it's not something you ever expect in your 20s. Like, I don't know, you think it happens to other people or like older people. It's not something I ever thought was going to affect me, or like not yet at least. But yeah, it was a bit surreal to kind of be told, yeah, you actually have cancer. Like, never once when I was experiencing the tiredness and the night sweats did that ever cross my mind, that like it could actually be something that serious. But it was sort of vindicating then when I finally was told, you know, there is actually something wrong, that I was like, oh, this explains all of these symptoms. But yeah, it was scary being told, you know, you're going to have 16 rounds of chemo, you're going to need a mastectomy at 27, you're going to need radiation, like immunotherapies, like it's going to take about a year to complete most of that treatment, which is a lot. And then obviously my wedding was postponed, I had to postpone my PhD. Yeah, it was a lot to take in all at once.
How were your family and friends, and of course your fiancé during this time? Were they of utmost support in every capacity, I can imagine?
Yeah, like they were absolutely shocked too. Like, I don't think anyone thought this was going to be a problem. Like, I don't really have any family history. Like, I have one aunt who would have gotten breast cancer in her 50s, but I think most people have an aunt or a grand aunt or some relative with breast cancer. It wasn't really on my radar. So yeah, they were quite shocked, but yeah, they've been brilliant, very supportive. And yeah, just kind of everything, like even driving me to appointments, coming to chemo, like, yeah, I couldn't ask for more from them.
It's amazing that you've had that support, because I know there are people that don't, and I imagine it does kind of in some ways ease that burden when they are coming along to appointments and things like that with you, which is amazing that they have been. Have you found support as well through cancer services or nurses along the way? How important has that been in your journey?
Yeah, so most of my appointments have been in Dematter and they've all been brilliant. Like everyone was so comforting. Like even when I got my diagnosis, I know there was two nurses in the room who came with me to get another scan afterwards, and they were like asking me about my outfit and asking me where I got it, and they were just kind of keeping things normal. And yeah, then I get my chemo in Cavan in the hospital, and they're absolutely brilliant there as well. It's just, it makes it a lot more relaxing when people are kind of having a laugh with you and chatting with you when you're getting chemo, because it's a long day, like you're in there for a couple hours. And then cancer support services, there is the Cooen Centre in Cavan, which I've been going to, and they've been fantastic too. So they offer like holistic therapies to kind of keep you, you know, mentally strong during cancer treatment. So there's Reiki, reflexology, acupuncture. I've gotten acupuncture, actually it's been brilliant for like the night sweats, because when you get breast cancer this young, they put you into like a temporary menopause. So the acupuncture has like basically cured my night sweats somehow. I was kind of skeptical of all these holistic therapies, but they're working and they definitely make you more relaxed anyway, at the very least. But yeah, they've been fantastic as well in the Cooen Centre.
Is there anything that you wish other people understood more about what it's like to live with cancer at the age, like the age that you're at in your 20s? You've mentioned some of the amazing people that you've met there along the way that who have done so much to try and have normal conversations with you at what is not a normal time, surely, but also it provides comfort. But to other people, what do you wish they understood a bit better?
Yeah, it kind of takes over your entire life. Like when I first got diagnosed, I was like, this will just be like a small part of my life, you know, like everything will continue as normal and I'll just, you know, go through cancer treatment. But it kind of takes up everything. Like there's chemo every week, there's meeting your surgeon, meeting your oncologist, you know, and when you're not like going to these appointments, you're dealing with the side effects of treatment. So like you're tired or you're in pain or, you know, all these other wild side effects you get. It just kind of takes over everything. And like, I suppose it's quite unfortunate getting it this young that I was diagnosed at quite a late stage. Whereas if I was in my 50s and getting screened, there would have been the possibility of, you know, getting diagnosed at an earlier stage, which means like less aggressive treatment. So that's unfortunate. And yeah, I was actually talking to someone recently about like non-attendance for screenings, that a lot of people just don't attend, which is sad, because, you know, I can understand people are saying like, I'm going to waste a day, like I'm going to lose a day going to a hospital to get this screening done. But like, when you have cancer and it's at a later stage, it takes over everything and it's like 24/7. So, you know, the loss of one day could save you so much time in the future.
Talk me through what your day-to-day life looks like at the minute since you've got that diagnosis. I imagine it is literally 24/7, but what sacrifices and changes have had to be made for the time being?
Yeah, so I postponed my PhD for the time being. I was doing that. I was in final year in Maynooth doing my PhD in medical law, and that obviously we've had to just kind of put a pin in that for the minute. Because chemo is quite aggressive and it makes you very tired. And obviously my immune system wouldn't be great for like mixing with people around like that. So I do kind of have to isolate a little bit. But my day to day is just kind of, usually if I have chemo, that takes up most of the day. And then I go home and I go to bed and I rest for a while. I try and like go for like little walks and things like that. But life just kind of revolves around the cancer. You know, you're kind of planning for, oh, I've got an appointment at such and such a time, or I'm going to see my surgeon now the next day and I've got decisions to make. And yeah, it's if you're not in an appointment, you're kind of dealing with the side effects or the aftermath of the treatment at the minute.
Do you mind me asking how things are looking for you at the minute? Do you have any update on the cancer and where it's at?
Yeah, so because it's stage 3 and it's in the lymph nodes, we went for a chemo straight away. I kind of assumed surgery would be the first thing, like where you take the cancer out, was kind of my logic. But when you're stage 3 and it's in the lymph nodes, they're trying to prevent it from spreading elsewhere in your body. So they started me with quite an aggressive chemo. It's called AC chemo. So I had 4 sessions of that, and then I met my oncologist and he did a breast check then, and he could barely find the tumour. So I had one tumour that was palpable to touch, and it has pretty much disappeared. Like, it's very difficult to find now, which is a really good sign. So it's looking good, touch wood, but obviously there's a lot more to get through. I have 10 more sessions of chemo to go, and then I have to get a single mastectomy. I got genetic testing done recently in Crumlin to see, is this like hereditary? Is this something that runs in my family? And no, they did nine different mutations they checked for, and all of them came back totally clear. So it's just a complete fluke that I've gotten breast cancer 27. So yeah. And like lifestyle, like I don't smoke, I don't drink, I'm vegetarian. It's just one of these complete fluke things. But at the minute, like, things are looking good. It's responding to cancer, it's responding to treatment. There's just a lot more to go, obviously.
The road is still long, but I'm delighted to hear that, you know, thus far there have been some positive signs for you. Probably in one way, quite a silly question, because I'm sure that this journey has been absolutely the most difficult thing that you probably will ever go through in your life in every way. But have there been any lessons you've learned so far, like about yourself and about your resilience in this journey?
Yeah, like actually one of my friends asked me recently, has like my perspective on life changed or anything like that? And not really. Like I was always kind of very family oriented. Like I feel like I had my priorities kind of in line. So I don't know if it has really changed much for me. It does kind of show you how strong you are, I suppose, because you kind of have to face it head on. Like I said, like it takes up everything. Like there's no avoiding it, and like there's no real escaping from it. Like the cancer is in you. Like it's not as if you can run from it or go on holiday and, you know, leave it behind. So you do kind of have to just face it head on and get on with it. I'm kind of very much like a, you know, these are the cards I've been dealt. I'm gonna have to get on with things kind of a way. Like that's just sort of my personality on things. But yeah, I don't know if it's really taught me anything. I suppose like life is short, like you never know what's around the corner for you. Like I never thought I was going to get cancer, especially not at 27. But yeah, it's kind of, you just gotta live in the moment. And I suppose the fear of, you know, scans and scan results, that, you know, every time I get a scan I'm like, oh my goodness, what if something bad shows up on it? And I'm kind of aware that's going to be the rest of my life is going to be scans and that kind of anxiety around it. So it does sort of force you to kind of live in the moment and just accept things are going to go whatever way they're going to go, and you just sort of have to enjoy whatever time you've got, really.
With Daffodil Day tomorrow, what would you say to people listening right now about how important it is to support something like the Irish Cancer Society and Daffodil Day?
Yeah, like absolutely. Like I've had the benefit of the services, like the Cooen Centre receives donations from things like this, even the research that goes into, you know, cancer research from these donations. Like you never know, when you're making this donation, you will probably, or a family member will probably benefit from the work that's going on at the minute. Like you never think it's going to affect you or your family, but that it will help probably you in the future or someone you know. So, and then like absolutely the amount of like campaigning that they do and like raising awareness, like there's so much involved in Daffodil Day. So I think it is brilliant to support.
Well, Alana, thank you so much for joining me in iRadio's group chat this evening and sharing your story. And I will keep an eye on all of your socials as well to see how you're getting on. If people want to follow along with your journey, where can they find you?
Yeah, I post on TikTok. It's just Alana4330, I think, is the username TikTok generated for me. I didn't put much thought into it. But yeah, I post on TikTok. I kind of just, it's sort of like a kind of a daily update sort of a thing. Yeah, if anyone wants to follow along.
Well, wishing you all of the love and luck and strength in this journey. And I'm sure we will chat to you again on iRadio's group chat.
Thank you.